Today the message we'll be looking at is a gentleman called David, King David. Anybody hear of David and Goliath? Amen. Well, I asked Carol to share this song with us this morning. It kind of gives in a nutshell, how David became king. Now I'll take off from there from a message when she's done sharing with us this song.
Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. The father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed, except the last, because no one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see me. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just one moment he can touch you, everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king.
That's what he says to us too.
One by one, problems come, dreams they get shattered. Sometimes it's so hard to understand. Things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. For our Father holds the future in His hands. Others see a shepherd boy, God makes a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just one moment He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Well, he wasn't the oldest, wasn't the strongest, chosen on that day. But the giants fell, and nations trembled when they stood in his way. A shepherd boy, God makes a king. Even though your life seems to be ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you, and everything will change. Others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. God may see a king.
The world will look at us through worldly eyes. And when I say, well, you're just a shepherd boy, or you're just a maintenance worker, or you're just a retired cop, or a retired concrete layer, or whatever it might be, the world will look at you and say, this is what you are. But God will look at you through His spiritual eyes and tell you who you are. This boy, David, the youngest in the family, was a shepherd boy. His job was to take care of dad's sheep. That's what it was. Take care of God's or dad's sheep. But God decided there was going to be a king come out of that family. And all the other brothers ought to be them. You know, boy, they're strapping, they're big and strong. But God doesn't look at the physical part of man. He looks at our heart. And he saw that David would have a heart after God. And same with us today. You sit here today. The world might look at you as what you was in your past. They might refer to you all the time as where you came from, what you've done in the past. But God looks at you today as a king. You're heirs to the throne of Christ. You have to think about that for a moment. It's not wind blowing in the air when I'm talking up here. God sees you as a born-again Christian, as heir to the throne of Christ. And Christ is the king. Now, he's the king of kings. We are a king. And we have to have that mindset. As a Christian, we got to have that mindset, knowing who we are. And it's hard to do at times. The flesh wants to tell you who you are. When bad things happen to us, it wants to tell us who we are. But God tells us that we are heirs to the throne of Christ. Co-heirs. And we start thinking that way. Man, you'll see a lot of difference in your life. You'll have a lot greater peace, a lot more strength in your life. And many of you are there now. Everyone here came from somewhere. You come a long ways. But God's got a lot more for you to do for yourself and for others. And today I want to talk about David just for a few moments. And I asked Aaron to bring down the curtain here for a minute. You know, I illustrate more than most pastors probably, but this is how I see things in my head, and it's easier for me to get it out. Anybody ever have anybody aggravate you? Don't be pointing fingers in the church. So as we go on, and we're in February already, a new year, but as we continue on today, I still want to remind us, and probably do this weekly, is authority and the power we have as Christians, and how that power is increased through our fasting, through prayer, through time in the Word. Remember, the Word of God is our sword. That's what we come in. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And a lot of times we do it in the physical. A lot of times we do it in the physical, and it doesn't do any good. All it does is aggravate ourselves. If we realize what we're coming against is a spiritual battle, we'll fight a lot differently. You'll see a lot more victory in your lives. And then today we're going to look at David, and he's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 through 54. Now, if you want to go there, I'll catch up with you here in a minute, maybe. But what has happened here, and I'll give you an upbeat here. What has happened is that Israel, God's people, have always been governed by a judge. Anything that went on, they would look at the Word of God, and judges would have court by God's Word. You know, what better court could you have? Well, Israel got tired of that, and they looked around other nations and other countries and stuff. And you know what they wanted? Okay. They want to be like everybody else. Have you ever heard that before, folks? I want to be like everybody else. Have you ever heard, say, well, Mom, Dad, everybody else does it.
I've said it.
Yeah, you said that, yeah. You know, we look around, we see, man, we want to be just like everybody else. And God's saying, listen, I know what's best for you. I know what's best for you. You know, has God ever forsaken the people of Israel up to this point? No, He never has. But they kept complaining. And finally God said, okay, that's what you want, you can have that. You know, that's where your mind, your heart's at, you can have it. And you know, kind of like our own lives today, we have to watch ourselves at times. Because if you hear the Word of God, and you know what the Word of God says, what you're supposed to do, or not do, and you still say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. God, come on, God, can I? He'll step back and let you do it. And then later on, you say, God, what happened? What happened, God? Man, look at this situation. Man, I've been following you. I've been a Christian for all my life. And look. I said, well, remember when I told you, don't marry that person? Oops. Or don't take that job? Or sever that relationship that you have? Remember when the Spirit of God came to you and said, hey, let's don't go down that path? And you said, I'm going to do it anyway? As I step back. You know, but praise God, you look at Israel, time and time again, they separate themselves from God. But when they would repent and turn back, God already received them. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
And same with you today. If you're sitting here today and maybe you turn away from the Lord, and you've been on your own for a while, and you realize that road is bumpier and all get out, man, if you repent, not being sorry, but repent, turn away from that sin, turn back to God, He's there to receive you. You know, when Israel turned back to God, they couldn't bring one of the fake gods with them. They couldn't have Baal, which is a false god, turn around with Baal in their arms, say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you again, and bring that false god with them. No, he said, leave that behind. Leave that behind. I have no other god before me. Don't you? And if we're trying to follow God today, but we're still trying to hang on to that sin in our life, well, that's just one thing, you know. Like I said on Thursday night, there's a great saying in the churches, no one's perfect. Are they, Joe? No, they're imperfect, except for me, right? I'm your pastor, you know. But there's a great saying that no one's perfect. That is correct. None of us are perfect. Our desire is to be like Christ, but we're not there yet. But we cannot embrace and tolerate and hold on to sin. Sin that we know the sin to hang on to and say, well, that's okay. I'm going to keep this in my life anyway. No. We have to let go of that. Now, we're going to sin. But the minute we find ourselves that we sin, we seek God, ask forgiveness, and repent, turn away from it. Don't go back in the same situations that got you there in the first place. We need to learn from that. If every time I get around Jason, he gets me in trouble. Every time I do great for every 3 months, but once every 3 months, me and Jason go out, and that gets me in trouble all the time. What should I do?
Quit going around Jason.
Quit going around Jason. There you go. See, it's very, very simple on that. You know that? I'm just kidding. Jason's awesome. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, who wants us to? You see, no. So God agreed to appoint a king over Israel. And there's a prophet in the land at that time named Samuel. And God had Samuel go and appoint a guy named Saul as the first king of Israel. They finally got their wish. They got their king now. Well, Saul had a heart for God, but as time went on, Saul became disobedient to God. Wow. And God says, nope, I was taking him out of power. Now, I'm giving you a Starkey version here, summarizing it up here. And so he had Samuel, the prophet, go, and as Carol was singing there, to the Jesse, to his boys, and he anointed, God had him anoint David to be the next king of Israel. He would step in as when Saul is removed. Now, David was appointed and anointed to be king, but at this time he wasn't yet in power. And he knew that he was going to be king. He knew who he was. He knew what was coming down the road. But, you know, as we enter and start the scripture here in 17, I want to remind you of a scripture that God shows us in Romans 8, 16 and 17. He says, you just want to write that down? Come back to Samuel. But it's Romans 8, 16 and 17. He said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So just as David knew that he was anointed, appointed to be king, we also stand here today knowing that we are co-heirs of Christ as kings. Okay, when we go into a situation, we should go in there knowing that we are associated to the king, that we are the king, that we have all power and authority given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ and through His name. You know, there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper, amen? That is something we have, no matter where you, I don't care what you step in tomorrow, as a child of God, as a born-again Christian, you step in with that power and that authority. It's yours. Now, whether you use it or not, that makes a lot of difference in our lives, but that's what we are given. As co-heirs to Christ. David, wherever he went, the one Saul anointed him and appointed him to be the next king, he went with a king attitude. He knew that God keeps his word. Once you say, hey, you're going to be king, you're going to be king. You don't care what's coming your way. You know God's going to bring you through if you keep your eyes on God, because He already said you're going to be king. You know, if your kingship is going to be down here seven rows, you know you go with row one in, row number two, row number three. You can jump all those knowing that you're going to get there as you follow the Lord, because God said you're going to be king.
Right. There's no question. It wasn't if. It's, he will be. As he followed him, he knew David's heart. As he knows every one of our hearts in here today, he knows your heart. You know, he knows your heart. Well, David, perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. But he knows your heart. You have a heart that you want to please him, that you want to follow him. He understands that. And just as we are now, we are co-heirs of Christ. Now, in the good of Samuel, and folks, I know this is a few verses here. I'll try to jump around it and not make it too long for you today. But understand, there's a war going on right now. The Philistines are raised up against God's people. The Philistines, their enemies, coming against them. They want to wipe them out. God's people. And they said, no. We're going to overpower you. We're going to take you down. We're going to remove you from God. It's kind of like you have an enemy today that's coming against you, that's trying to remove you from the things that God wants you to have. You have an enemy coming against you that's saying, I don't care what about your God, you know, we're going to take you out. You know, this is what's going on in Israel. And it says now in verse 1 of 17, it says, now the Philistines gathered armies for battle, and they were gathered at Shok, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Sukkah and Askiah and Iphidom. Is that right, Carol? Give me a nod. Thank you. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah. So here we go. We got the enemy, the Philistine on one side. You got Saul, which is the king of Israel, on the other side. They're camped there. And he said that they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. They got dressed for battle, man. They're putting all the swords on and their helmets and stuff in. They're looking like boom, 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 boom. Humongous. They look like football players for the Super Bowl, you know. They got everything they have on and getting ready for the battle. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between. So they're looking across this valley at their enemies. Probably shaking hands. Oh, you know, your mama. You know how they say that? You know, teasing one another, you know. You know, yeah, yeah. Then a champion came out from the army of the Philistines named Goliath from Gate, who height was 6 cubits in a span. So right around 15 and 16 feet tall, the best I can figure out on my cubic scale, okay? That's a tall man. That is a tall man. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and clothed with scale armor and weighed about 5,000 shekels of bronze. And this thing is humongous. I couldn't pick it up. The equipment he has on him for battle is fantastic. He had in verse 7, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield carried also walked before him. I think, if I remember right, 350 pounds is what all this stuff weighed. Just to go to battle. I couldn't move. 300, you know what I'm saying? Now, can you imagine this thing dressed like this is standing in front of you, taunting you? Come on, Daryl. Come on, Daryl. Come on, come on. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. He's saying, hey, listen, you're all dressed up for battle. And he's talking to Saul's people, Israel. You're dressed up for battle, but why don't you fight? Why don't you fight? You got an outfit on. You got a shield. You got a sword. Why are you just sitting there, standing there? Are you going to fight or not? You know? Maybe it's like the church today. The church gets all dressed up. We all gather together. We sing praise and stuff. But where's the fight at? Where's the strength at? Where's the power at? Why are we letting Satan have control of this world? Why are we letting Satan have control of our communities? Why are we letting Satan have control of our household? Man, we got to do more than just get dressed up. Man, we got to get down the trenches. Greater he that's in me than he is in the world. Yeah. Same with you guys. You got to realize who you are. Heirs to the King. You have the power, the strength, and the authority. And you sit here today and think, man, my household is going crazy. Preach a long time that I don't want to go back to my household. It's going crazy. You know it must be a crazy household if you're telling the preacher to preach all day. You know what I'm saying? But some of you, you just, in your heart, man, I just keep taking them away. Hey, remember who you are. You are a king to the throne of God. Not a God. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, but we're co-heirs to Him. You do have power. You do have authority. And this battle that you're fighting is not flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities of the dark side, of Satan. We get together, man. There's more power right here in the church than Satan has in all his cohorts. You understand that? There's more power, one drop of blood that cleanses us from our sins than everything that Satan can bring against this world. Man, we have victory. We are victorious. You know, we're kind of like sitting there in World War II and we have the A-bomb. We have the bomb that will stop all wars, we thought back then. And we used it. And us, we have the authority that will stop our enemy in his tracks. And that is authority of the name of Jesus Christ and His precious blood that we have as Christians. Amen? Now, just for a second, take it down bunny trail. Imagine now, you got Philistines over here, and you got Saul over here. Israel, okay? They're all in their battle array. You know, they want to fight and stuff. Well, let's say you're walking down the road on Saul's side, and you think, that looks like fun. So you get in line with them. Hey, I know you. Yeah, I knew who you was. And you're out back at the enemy tormenting them. This is a lot of fun, boy. But what happens when the enemy comes towards Saul? Do you have any protection? Do you have any armor? No. All you have is a mouth. Yeah. You're having mouth getting in trouble. Yeah. Been there, done that. Yeah. So you got to make sure that you're part of the army when you go into battle. Remember, in fact, if you're here today, you're not a born-again Christian, you're part of the enemy. Not to say that badly, because I walked as the enemy of the Lord for years not knowing it. Okay, I wasn't born again. But Christ said, you're either for me or you're against me. And we see that in God's eyes, that He looks down and He sees this as surrendered life to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He sees it as part of His family, part of His army. But if we have not, we are still on the other side. We are still in the enemy's camp. Maybe we won't be in the enemy's camp. Maybe we're sick and tired of being in the enemy's camp. You ever have a boss you didn't like? Thank God Bob's not here. He ain't raising his hand. Bob and I work together. But if you're in that camp, man, I'm getting sick and tired. Hey, listen, you can cross over. You can go from the enemy camp over to God's camp by crossing through that valley that's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, by shredding our lives, repenting from our sins. Otherwise, God sees us as part of the problem and not part of the solution. And that solution is what? Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. You stood in shadow of the rank. Why do you come out to draw up in battle and ray? Verse 9, and if he is able to fight with me and kill me, he challenged, said, listen, I'm coming out, I'm stepping out. Goliath says, I'll make you a deal, Kathy Snyder. You bring one of your soldiers to me. If they can slay me, my whole army will be your servants. We'll do your laundry. We'll fix the hair down at your salon for you. We'll do everything. Just come on, but if I can destroy the one that you call upon to come against me, you guys will be my slaves. It's kind of like the devil. If you allow him to overpower you, you are a slave to the devil. He'll get you that way in many different ways. He'll tempt you into doing things that he wants you to do. Might be through drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be sex. It could be work ethics. It could be a lot of things. But he'll come against you. And if he can get you captured, man, you'll be a slave to him. Have you ever been a slave to Satan? I've been there, done that. In most middle of the time, you don't want to stay there. It might be fun getting down there to him. But once you get in his camp, man, it's hard to get out of it. You know, not too many people want to stay there once they get there. They want out of it. And so if we just watch the signs as they come, and we know that Satan's coming at you, we don't step that way. Amen? We allow the Word of God to say, don't go down there, Starkey. Don't go down there. But God, this path here has got daisies and it's got flowers. Yes, but I see what's down at the end of the path. And it's a dung heap. You know, God sees what's coming down your way. And if you follow His Word and allow that voice, that Holy Spirit to say, no, go the other way, man, He'll keep you from a lot of problems. Now, you might be walking on a cobble road right now and you're barefooted and you're stubbing your toes. Oh, God, oh, man, it hurts. But God sees what's down in that road. You know, don't judge by the appearance of what it looks like. Just follow the Word of God. Many of us can walk our way into hell following a nice paved road, decorated with flowers and all kinds of conveniences. But God knows where that road ends. Allow Him to direct you. He already sees your enemy. You know, He already sees your enemy. He's already overpowered your enemy. Allow Him. Allow Him to be in that way in your life, to be your leader. If you're able to kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you will become my servants. Again, the Philistine, Goliath, this big guy. I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Man, now he's defying the whole nation of God. God's chosen people. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Oh my! Man, this one guy is coming after us. Oh no, what are we going to do? He's going to destroy us. Look at the size of him. Man, look at the size of him. Now David was the son in the tribe of Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and we just heard that, right? You just heard Carol sing about David and Jesse. And Jesse was older in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul into battle. Came after battle. And David was the youngest, verse 14. Now, the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. So he's a sheep keeper, or a shepherd, thank you. He's going back and forth. He goes, checks on his brothers, then come back and watches the sheep because his father has entrusted him with something very precious, and that is the family income. You know, these sheep, these lambs are very precious to the shepherds. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. 40 days he came out and taunted Israel. 40 days! By then I'd even get upset enough to throw at least throw a rock at him or something. He kept tempting them. And what happened? They got so much fear around them, they didn't recognize, remember who they are in God. They don't remember it. They're scared. They let the physical things overpower them. And they're not thinking straight. Then verse 17, and Jesse said to David his son, take now for your brothers lunch. Run up there and feed your brothers. And 18 describes what they ate. And 19, for Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So here, young son, go feed your brother who's fighting this enemy up here. So he takes off for dinner. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper. And took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. So he's leaving the sheep, but his dad put him in charge of, but he remembered to put someone else to watch over the sheep, to care for these animals. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting a war cry. Here we go again. Probably day 40. Everyone's all just, hey, we're going to kick you. We're going to get you. You know, we're better than you are. They're back and forth. Same thing they did for 40 days. Round in circles, round in circles. You'd think they'd be wore out by now. You're not challenging it. And Israel and Philistine drew up in battle array, army against army. Come on, Aaron, I'll just shake my fist at you, buddy. Yeah, you're in the valley there, by golly. Then David left his baggage, which was the dinner, in the care of the baggage keeper, and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brother. Now he's in the battle line. He's looking out. He's seeing Saul over there, or he's seeing Goliath. He's around his brother, his big brother, man, who's part of this army. David is a youngster. And he was talking with them. And behold, a champion Philistine from Gath named Goliath was coming up from the army of the Philistine, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. Challenge him again. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him. He said, man, whoever can slaughter this enemy, take out Goliath, man, the king will bless them so much, he will give them all kind of blessings. In verse 26, and David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this non-member of God's army? Who is this who is not a believer in God, that he should taunt the armies of the living God? I said, man, who is this guy? Tell me, Joe, who is this guy that's coming up here day after day taunting the men of Israel? This guy, he's not of the kingdom of God. Why is he doing this? Who is this? And he's saying, man, don't you guys know who you are? Is what David is thinking in his head. And the people answered him in accord with the word, saying, thus it will be done for the man who kills him. Now his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and his anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. So David, you only came down here because you want to see blood and guts. You only came down here because you want to see somebody get the head tore off. You want to see somebody's head, you don't care who it is, you want to see it. It kind of reminds me of the Super Bowl today. Somebody don't care who wins today, you want to see somebody get their arm broken. And it's sad though, I don't know why this comes to me right now, but so much stuff on TV now has nothing to do with playing the game, it is seeing somebody get hurt. See that hit? man, it knocked this box off. I mean, some people watch the game because they want to feed that thing inside of them. Same thing as what the men are accusing David of. You just want to see terror. You just want to see someone being destroyed. But David said, what have I done now? What is it? It's not just a question. Why you pick on me, same brother? I brought you dinner. Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And they again told him what the king would do. Verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Finally, a little boy, a young man, tell Saul, listen, I'll go fight this guy. He's not going to sit there anymore and taunt my God. No longer he's going to make God's people hide. No longer he's having any power or authority over the people. No way. I know who God is. I'll go and fight him, is what David is saying. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistines and fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. Again, looking at the size, man, you're too small. You can't go fight this guy. And that's what the world look at us once in a while. Even you might look at yourself. You might look in the mirror and say, who am I? Who am I to come up against this thing that's come against my family? Who am I to stand in the gap and speak the word of God against the enemy, Satan, who's trying to deal with my life and the life of my loved ones? You know, Satan will say, man, who are you? Huh? Who are you? Who are you, Betty Titus? He'll say, who do you think you are coming in here and praying and laying hands on people? Who are you speaking the word to your family members? Who are you to be up late at night on your knees praying for people to be released and healing of people's bodies and stuff? Who are you? He'll just try to beat you down so much, make you feel so insignificant that you just give up and go away. And Saul was speaking this into David. Saul was supposed to be on his side. But remember, Saul has fallen out of the grace of God because of disobedience. Now he's looking at David, trying to see what kind of thing God is giving him here. What kind of weapon is shaped like a little boy? He's just taking the worldly thing, looking at him in the size that he is, and man, you can't do nothing. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and I killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Wow, listen to this. And I'm going to stop here. I'm going to plow here a while. This is probably all far that we get today. He's been entrusted with the family sheep, the family livelihood. He said, now he's watching them one evening. And a bear, a lion, came, had hold of one of the sheep, and drug into a brush, and was going to devour it. But so I went in, I rescued that sheep from his mouth, grabbed him by the beard, and I slayed the enemy of that sheep. But I ask you this right now. Picture in your mind, sheep out there, meh, they're eating dinner, the apple tree there in the corner. It's a nice day, okay? And David has been telling the sheep, hey, back over here. Come on, you got a little shepherd hook. Come over here, okay? Back and forth, keep them together. Vicky, your sheep for a second. Okay? Back over here, get in line now, okay? He's talking about, you know, keep an eye on them. He looks back around and he sees his sheep. He's going around. He's getting closer and closer. Joe, can I borrow you a second, buddy? Okay. I want you to stand right behind here a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, how many times as this sheep has gone towards this bush, this is a bush for a moment, okay? Okay. And David said, hey, get back here, get back here. And this sheep just turns around, looks at him, goes a bit farther. Hey, get back here. Come on, get back. Come, can you hear me? Get back here. Get back here. He's going crazy. Man, why won't this sheep pay attention to me? Well, if you look real close, you will see. I want you to be on the corner, shake it a little bit. You will see they have the sheep looking around the corner. Oh, look at that. Well, the sheep is now, he's not really hearing the shepherd. He sees it. What is that behind the bush? What is behind the bush? And so he gets a little bit closer and closer, and more curiosity. You know, how the lion is tracking. The sheep knows his master's his voice, but he knows he should go back. But man, the curiosity. Oh, and pretty soon, what happens? He goes up there. Oh, look at that tail! What happens? Next thing you know, the enemy has got the sheep in his mouth now. Man, David has yowled. He's instructed, listen, get back here, get back here, get back here. Getting mad at the sheep. So David goes into the brush. He looks in there and he sees a lion trying to eat the sheep and he grabs it. He grabs it out of the mouth. Ugh. Brings it over here, sets it down. Say, wow, I told you not to do that. Why don't you listen to me? My land safe, why didn't you listen to me? Then David goes home for dinner, right? No, he didn't, did he? What did David do? He went back into this brush. Went back into this thing that tempted the sheep. He went back in there, grabbed the holder by his beard, okay? And he slayed him. He killed the thing that made his sheep go away. Come on here a second, brother. He slayed this because if he did not remove him from the sheep's life, give a couple more days, the sheep will say, well, you know, it really wasn't that bad. His teeth really wasn't that sharp. In fact, I really think he was trying to give me a kiss. See what happened in your mind? When you find yourself in sin, surrounded by the enemy like this, oh, get me out, get me out, get me out, and you get out. It's the same thing as here. After a while, your mind, which is a playground, Satan will come to your mind every time and say, well, it wasn't really that bad, was it? His arm wasn't quite that tight over you, was he? And, you know, it really, I think, you know, it wasn't that bad. They say that, man, that's a terrible thing to be involved with, but it's not really. And before long, you find yourself right back here again. David knew that. He said, not me. My father has entrusted me with these sheep. I'm telling you what, I'm rescuing him. You keep the sheep a second. He went over and he slayed this. This here will not come back against his sheep. They had no business messing with them sheep. You taunt it, you played with it, you enticed all that you could, but you're not going to do it again. Boom. The lion has been removed. Now, it's not to say that tomorrow his brother might show up. He might come into the same flock. He might be doing the same thing. He might be out there teasing. But the one who got a hold of this one will never touch him again. See, we're not immune. We go from one temptation to another. The enemy comes after us in many ways, trying to get a hold of us, trying to destroy us. He'll use everything possible. You know, that can be really inviting. Take that home with your kitten. And watch your kitten come after it, okay? Just playfully coming after it. He has no idea what's inside of that. He wants to play with it. And folks, the same way in our lives today, Satan will do whatever he can to get your attention. He'll do whatever he can to get a hold of you. He'll entice you with little things like that. You know, I mean, he'll put this on your head, I guess. See? Harmless. You know, have you ever told your daughter or your son, hey, you stay away from that person. You stay away. No. Have you ever been there, done that? Yeah, I had a lot of ladies told that about me. Not a lot, honey. No. Okay. But that little enticement gets us in trouble. And folks, I'm going to lead with this today. I'll give you 3 minutes here. Go back behind the curtain, Mr. Lyon. Okay, I want to volunteer here. Someone, boom, 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 boom. I'm afraid it might fall on topic. Steve, come here a second, buddy. No, never mind. Rebecca. Honey, can I borrow you? Because you're just the right age, okay? I want you to stand right here a second. Turn around and face people, okay? Not saying this has anything to do with you, okay? But you ever have a young person and you try to tell them what to do? Don't go there. Don't. Man, what's wrong with you? Why do you always go? I told you not to go there. Why are you over there? I tell you what. Why don't you have your homework done? What is it? Why? I keep telling you and telling you and telling you. I ground you, but you don't change. What is going on? She's the same thing as that sheep. You yell at it. You yell and yell. But you got to look deeper. What is this causing her to go astray? It could be, man, it could be the friends in your life. Maybe the friends that you have in your life is ungodly friends, and they're bringing an ungodly influence in your life. So, give me your arm out here. Okay? And so, they have got you bind. Okay? They got you tied up here. Wow. Man, it's just... And then over here, maybe... Maybe it's some stuff that was taught to you years ago. And, you know, maybe people say, well, man, God's not important. God's nobody. Hey, man, you'll be in heaven. You know, whatever, you don't have to obey your parents. Whatever it might be, you've been told that, hey, listen, you know, all kinds of stuff can come into your life. And as you yell and scream at someone, trying to rescue them, man, they will never change. We have to look right now beyond her and see what has got control of her. Well, man, right away it comes out to me that she has got too many ungodly people in her life giving her influence, and it's holding her back. And on the other side, I'm like, man, she don't, you know, maybe it's the upbringing, maybe it's, help me out here, maybe it's drugs in her life, maybe she's on drugs, and it does not allow her to do the things that you want her to do. And you stand here today, and I say, man, come on, Rebecca, quit doing that, what is wrong with you, Baba, everything you think of, it'll never change. Now, come toward me just a little bit, come a foot towards me. Put your arm out like this a little bit. Come to me. Just come to me like this, okay? Now, she's coming. Rebecca, will you settle down? Come on. I want you to do better. So in her heart, she has the desire that she wants to please me. She wants to do it. And I'm praying, God, you know, man, yes, yes, man, bring her to me. Bring her to me. And let her get back with me. Let her follow you. But I have to stop a moment. What is causing Rebecca to do this? Then what I have to do is go after what's holding her back. She has a desire to please. She, like we, everyone, we have a desire to please God. Amen? In your life today, maybe you have someone right now you've been praying for, you've been talking to, and say, man, come on. Come on. It's so simple. God will meet all your needs, you know, forgive your sins, you know. And you keep saying, man, what's wrong with you? That is fighting in the flesh. But this is the power and principality. She's being held back by Satan through friends. So, how would I pray to set you free? Man, God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would take any negative influence in Rebecca's life. I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. Ungodly friends, God, to be separated from her. Bring it through her life, Father God. Christian friends that's going to speak to her, that's going to hang out with her, that they're going to share this music together, God, that she be set totally free. And Lord, whatever maybe she's been taught, maybe she's not taught, but heard. Maybe she heard that, man, that Jesus freaks are weird, or you don't need God, that we're all going to go to heaven anyway. Whatever, God, just pray against that false teaching that's come upon her. God, that her ears be opened, attentive to hear the word. And the Holy Spirit, to minister to her today and watch over her. And I just rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ from her life. And as I do that, as these are set free, pull the strings back, Joe. You ain't sleeping on me. There you go. All right. But slowly, as I pray, and strings there are released, she's set free. And she can hear and she'll do what she wants to do now. Or she'll listen to you. Same with everyone that's in here. Too many times, We find ourselves screaming at the situation, yelling at the situation, and the whole situation is a spiritual battle. Look behind that scene. Look behind. Even your life today, you say, man, you sit down, honey. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Yay! You always pick on relatives. But folks, you look into your life today, and maybe you've been trying to battle something for a long time, and you say, God, you know, help me, I want to do this. Look closer to what it is that's holding you back and pray against it. Again, maybe you need a prayer partner. Joe, you came out of the curtain. I'm sorry, buddy. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you back. Thank you. Yay for a lion. But if we look into the lives of those we're praying for, look behind the scene, what is it? What is it that's holding them back? What influence is in their life right now that's keeping them from doing what God wants to do? What's in your life today that God doesn't want there, but you just can't get over it? Find out what it is and pray against that. David was entrusted with his father's sheep, and he went in after it rescued the lamb, and also slayed the dragon. And folks, I don't know what all went on with the lion and the sheep and David. Maybe the lion was making a little noise. Meow, meow. This little sweet, innocent little noise, trying to entice the sheep. But really, he was a ferocious lion. In your lives today, do you have a little meow going on? Do you have something that enticing you to do things that you know that it's not for God? You know that God doesn't want you to do it, but what harm can it be? David, what harm is it? I can just go in this bush and play this kitten. And David's saying, don't go in there, don't go in there. He knows what's in there. Same way our lives today. Them little meows we have, God saying, don't go there. Don't go down that road. It's because them little meows can turn into a big lion. And God wants you to just listen to the voice. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And yield yourself to that word. No matter what the road looks like, God knows where it's going to end at. And He has the best for you in mind. Amen?
Amen?
And folks, it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not how good we are. It's not how much we've done or we haven't done. Every one of us, when we were born, we had a debt in our life. We were born to sin, a sin nature. And to prove that, you ever hear a young kid, you ever out with mom or dad?
Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't to be that way. That's sin. And every one of us needs forgiveness of that sin. And God sent Christ to come on the cross, die on the cross, to pay your sin debt and mine. The wages of sin is death. It's eternity in hell. I know we do a lot of things, and I've done a lot of things in my life thinking it was okay to do. No, yeah, I know God didn't want you to do it, but it's okay. I can do it anyway. But there's a price tag for what the things we've done, and that's eternity in hell. The Bible describes it as a gnashing and snarling of teeth, a place where the worm never dies, the thirst is never quenched. You're isolated by yourself forever. God doesn't want that. He made that place for the fallen angels. He wants you to live with Him forever.
Amen.
But it's our choice. I ask you today, if you have not allowed Jesus Christ to become your Savior and Lord, if you haven't allowed God to be reconciled with you through the Son, folks, the day's coming that sin debt, you will pay it. Whether it's today, if you had a heart attack today, boom, your heart quits beating. Your eternity, you're stepping to either heaven or eternity in hell. And God doesn't want that. He wants to come. Christ will actually come and His Spirit will come and live in us as a Christian. He'll help you. He'll give you strength to overcome the things that's coming against you. That blood of Christ will forgive you your sins and be reunited with the Father just like that. But He said, go, come to me, surrender your life, but go and sin no more. The day is really close. This might be the last time you hear my sermon. Might be the last time we gather here. That's how close we're coming to the rapture of the church. I ask you today, if you have not reconciled the Father, if you want to start a new life today, if you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I ask you to stand up where you're at today. Ask God to forgive you your sins. Ask Christ to come in your life. Get baptized, become a follower of Jesus. Because these games that we've been playing, these games that seem like a lot of fun, this playing in the cesspool of sin, that right now is joyful, man, there's a price tag coming. And that's death and hell for eternity. That's for a million, billion years. And God doesn't want that. I'd rather stumble a few times on a cobblestone pathway on my way to heaven than then walk on a carpet on my way to hell. So actually today, that's you. If you want Christ to become your Savior and Lord, to stand up where you're at today. And He'll be there in a heartbeat that quick. There's a reason why you're here today. You're not here by any other reason except for God wants to speak into your life. He wants to give everyone, He wants to encourage every one of us. And He wants to give everyone a chance to come back to Him through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, be encouraged this week, guys. And watch out for the rest of them bushes you walk past, okay? They might look like they're flowers, but they could be poison ivy, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. And I thank You for David and all those who came before us, God, that through them You show us how to make good decisions. And You show us replications for those decisions we make outside of You. I just pray today that through the Holy Spirit, this word will be attached to us, that each of us will take it with us this week, and God, that we'll continue to encourage one another. And Father, that when You return, when Your Son returns, may He find a lot of church, a lot of people washed in His blood and ready to spend eternity with Him. Father, for all those that are heavy on our hearts today, Father, we stand in the gap today. And tomorrow, Father, as we call for a day of prayer and fasting for those that are heavy upon our hearts, God, we know that you'll work through us to meet the goals that you have for each one of those lives that you laid upon our hearts. We just yield ourselves to you, God, to be your instrument, to be the hands, the feet, and the mouth of the Almighty God upon this earth. And to you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in all the authority he's given to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. May you walk under the covering of that precious blood. May your temptations be removed. May your witness be strengthened. May you prosper and walk in his health. In Jesus' name, amen.